Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our live program here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. I appreciate you joining us this morning. Pastor Williamson is at teen camp, and no, he is not a teen, but he is there. He took a group of our teens to camp up in North Carolina, and he is not with us this morning. I'm sure he's having a good time. I appreciate, again, you joining us this morning. I want to go straight to our guest this morning. This is a very unusual subject from the sense of what we have chosen here from time to time here on Wheat Among the Tares. And Brother Doug Carriger is with a group called Wounded Spirits. Brother Carriger, welcome to Wheat Among the Tares this morning, my brother.
Oh, thank you, dear brother. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you getting with me this morning here. PTSD, it's a very unusual situation from the sense of a ministry. And Brother Carriger, one of the first things that caught my attention about this is it's not a usual type focus of a ministry. And first of all, explain to us kind of how you got involved with this particular ministry. I know you are formerly military. Give us kind of a background, first of all, on how you became involved with this.
Sure. So we know that PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. So for folks to get PTSD, or when I got PTSD, it came from a trauma, something that happened in my life. And essentially what happened is I was going to the I was going to the United States Army Sergeant's Major Academy, and one of the brothers in my class was, he was a Christian man, and he was constantly trying to share the gospel with me, constantly, things of that nature. And over the course of a month or so, I just kind of avoided him and wanted to be left alone. And then about a month into this dialogue that was going back and forth, he and I had a PT test one morning, which is physical training test. And we had to do as many push-ups as we could in 2 minutes, as many sit-ups as we could in 2 minutes, and you're graded at how many you do. And then we had to run 2 miles as fast as we could. And I had come in for my 2 miles. I was waiting for Willie, my dear friend, to join me. And Willie came running in for his, and we started walking back over to the gym, and my friend passed out face first, slammed off the ground. And when he did, I rolled him over, and he had a cut on his lip. His eyes were wide open, had sand on him. So I immediately screamed medic, and for the next 5 minutes before anyone got to me, I delivered mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, CPR, and his blood was pumping down my throat. It was all over my face. Unbeknownst to me, his left ventricular artery had blown off his heart, and we were just putting blood into his cavity, and Willie passed away. Well, through that, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that day, but there were nightmares and things that came along, and everything you can think of that comes with PTSD. So knowing that, you know, some of the big things are being suicidal, suffering from guilt, you know, why isn't it me? Suffering from anger and outburst and hypervigilance and dealing with things like apathy and avoidance and all those type of things. I could see things happening in my life. And one day I was at church and the pastor made a comment. I was going to church out in El Paso, Texas at the time, Hillcrest Baptist Church, not too far from Fort Bliss there at the Sergeant's Major Academy. And the pastor got up and preached, and he made mention. He said, you know, there's nothing in God's word or there's nothing in our lives that God's word does not cover. And I remember that night I was moved, and I went back to our house there, and I went through the Bible over and over again. Suicidal, what does the Bible have to say about it? I literally wrote a little book, and it became my guide. And through that, God was able to do a great work through me and eliminate the nightmares, suicidal tendencies, the anger outbursts, all those different things I was going through. One at a time, just God took those out of my life. So years went by, and I woke up in 2014, and the population, and I know this is a long way around the yard, brother, and I'm sorry about that.
No, you go ahead, brother.
in 2014, I was at a church up in Landmark Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. And while I was preaching there that particular weekend, the pastor said to me, you know, have you ever dealt with PTSD? And I said, I've been there. And I said, God gave me some answers. I have a whole folder full of stuff. And he said, Doug, you need to write a book. And so I sat down, I wrote a book called Wounded Spirits, A Biblical Approach to PTSD. And through that, we had a local church print it, and we passed out some. And there was a young man actually not too far from where your station is at, in a long-term mental care facility for veterans. Somebody sent him the PTSD book and the Bible. And we were driving down the road a couple of days later, and this doctor called up and said, you know, who sent, we'll call him Donald, who sent Donald this booklet and this Bible? And I said, sir, I don't know, but can you tell me what the booklet is? And they said, well, it's Wounded Spirits, A Biblical Approach to PTSD. And I said, sir, there's only one group that could have done that. We were in a church this weekend. But I said, I hope it's a blessing to him. It certainly was to me when I wrote it. Well, it seems like Donald was handcuffed and shackled to his bed. He was only let free at night at 1 or 2 in the morning. He was just constantly, I believe he was demon possessed. I don't believe he was not saved. And the devil will use all these things against us.
That's
though
right.
I do believe people who are saved can suffer from PTSD. I think we got a great advantage if we're saved and know which direction to go. He read the book, and they unhooked his shackles and stuff one night, and he threw himself on the floor and started begging God to save him. And every chapter has a salvation message at the end of it. And over the next month or so, the hospital kept calling me, what are you doing with Donald? And I said, again, sir, I've never met Donald. So I drove up to see him, and what I found was a guy that had been handcuffed and shackled, using bedpans, having to get nurses to help him go to the bathroom. He had went from that state to when I went to see him, he was sitting in a love seat reading a book. And God had done a change in his life. And word got around. And we said, man, we're at that time, I'm running a ministry to the military. I said, we need to, you know, have some camps, have some workshops, go to churches, do whatever we can. And so we developed a ministry called Wounded Spirits. You can find it at woundedspirits.com. And we started holding camps. And every camp we held, we saw tons of people with PTSD. You know, 100, 150 people would come out to every camp. And we found a couple things, brother. We found out that, first of all, PTSD is just not for military men and women or first responders. There's PTSD can be caused by any type of trauma or motor vehicle accident. One of the major causes of PTSD in our country is molestation, rape, abuse, and those types of ways. And we found out quickly that all these people were converging on camps. So you had the veteran, you had the state highway patrolman, you had the lady who was raped when she was 4, and the young man who was raped by his grandfather. You had people that were in terrible accidents, witnessed murders, and all of a sudden, through all that, man, God just started working. And that's kind of the law. I know I went the long way, but I didn't want to miss. It was a short, long way. Trust me, that story could go 4 hours. But I just wanted to fill in the blanks on how God was so good to us that he brought us a little bit through things so that we could come out the other end and bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by giving him the preeminence, by training people on what God's word says about PTSD. And along the way, we've had about 7,500 people saved. And along the way, we've trained 15 or 16,000 people.
You mentioned that PTSD is not something that just affects the military, which a lot of us in our minds, when we hear that term, we automatically associate it with the military trauma that soldiers, that those men go through. And I know, brother, they see a lot for sure. But,
yeah.
I was just thinking as you were describing that, how many people have witnessed events in their personal lives, maybe something that nobody else was privy to at the time, but yet it had such a profound effect upon them. And as a result, just the shutting off of a lack of another term. Brother, is that one of the situations that happens with people when they witness things, they just tend to shut themselves off and they don't want to communicate, they don't want to convey what happened to them, they internalize everything, I guess. Is that something that happens?
Yeah, you know, many do. So understanding that in 2019, our population, about 8% of it, we were told at any given time was suffering from PTSD. Now in 2020, 2021, the numbers looked a lot closer to 20%. So if somebody even went in the hospital and spent one night with COVID, they had a 1 in 3 chance of having PTSD. If anyone had ever been hooked to a respirator, they had a 95% chance of having PTSD. So people, going back to your question, I say that to you to understand that it's kind of a complex thing. So yes, if you're younger, especially, you repress things, you don't want to tell anybody, you feel guilty, I'm somewhat at fault. You know, I wore the wrong clothes, or I went and served my country. I just did what my country told me to do. Or, you know, I was a cop and I just had to pull bodies out of the car. I'm weak. So I think we see some repressing going on, but I think more so lately, we're just overwhelmed with phone calls that people want help. And we're constantly recruiting volunteers and churches and people who are willing to go out. So I think there's a good side to that too. I think there are people repressing it, and in a lot of cases, they may think that, boy, if I tell somebody that I was raped, I'm going to have to go to the police. I'm going to have to do this. And that's all okay. We can help you with that. And, you know, there's a reason Romans 13 is in the Bible. We want to make sure no one else gets hurt. But at the same time, we want to make sure that you get better. And so there is some repression. And in a lot of cases, it happens in the younger people.
Brother, how vast of a ministry from the standpoint of wounded spirits right now? Is it limited just to the United States right now, or are you going outside the boundaries? Because I know in other areas of the world, the stress and those things that happen within our lives, and certainly we have a verse in Isaiah 26:3 that deals with our minds being set on the Lord, and that we're having that perfect peace. But things can enter our life, brother, and you know that the things that can affect our lives. I know that happens worldwide. How do you deal with situations in other countries? Do you get calls from there?
Yeah, so we do chapters as well. So the idea is not only, first of all, next week sometime, within 10 days from this conversation, there will be a 12-episode TV show on Wounded Spirits. That'll be online. It'll be on woundedspirits.com. We're just wrapping up final production. We're actually a year into this puppy, but it's really professionally done. We use some of the photographers, the audio people, the audiovisual people, and a producer that actually did Facing the Giants and all that. We use that crew. This is more roundtable church type of discussions, or sitting on a couch and something like that. So, so that reaches everywhere. In the last 116, 117 days, there's been a war, as you know, in Ukraine. Ukraine's something close to my heart. I was stationed there on temporary duty for 6 weeks, and everything's going crazy. When you have a war, you know, there's 8 million people, 8.3 million people have lost their homes, lost their identity, have been displaced. 18 million, something like that, immigrants, refugees have left the country. Well, in the meantime, at one point, there was 60-something missionaries in Ukraine that would really be, you know, kind of our cut of Christianity there. Now there's four. But those four that are left, answering your question, we've been having classes over there. We have the book translated in Russian. We gave permission for 12,000, now an additional 37,000 to print them over there for about 50 cents a piece. We've distributed 30,000 Bibles. We have classes that actually ran on public TV in Ukraine. We train people in Poland, Romania, Estonia. We've actually got classes up everywhere. We got language translations going on. So we have, right now, we have Wounded Spirits going on in 9 countries, and one of them being the United States.
Praise the Lord, my brother, because again, the outreach is sorely needed, I know, not only in this country, but around the world, and things that are going on within people's lives. Just, excuse me, the Ukrainian situation alone, when we see what's going on and heard what's going on, total displacement, it has to be a place where wounded spirits can definitely be involved. And obviously, our Lord has opened the door, effectual doors, for you to minister there. What about individuals who are listening to this program right now? And I've got another area I want to go to, but I want to just deal with those that are maybe listening to this program right now. And perhaps they themselves or know of somebody that has experienced this. Maybe they haven't been able to put a label on it, but yet they see some of the symptomatic situations that arise out of that. Brother, is Wounded Spirits a place where they can reach out as an individual, not just the camps, but just to call you and get some help there?
Well, sure. They can submit a contact, and I'm one of a couple handfuls of people. I generally check them all, so I'd make a call back and try to set something up and get them started on classes. And we also have a Help for Wounded Spirits Facebook page. We have a Help for Wounded Spirits Monday through Friday, a Help for Wounded Spirits podcast, so you can find that through your Apple or your Android podcast app. It comes out set, I think, at midnight. It pops. It populates every midnight, somewhere between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m. in the morning. And those are followed pretty well. So every day we are, at the current time, we start with a word that has to do with PTSD, and we talk it through biblically. For instance, we were recording some yesterday. We recorded, and one of the words we picked out was depression. Another word we picked out. So, words that we can look at that folks who are on the podcast are people who suffered from PTSD and found victory. But you can contact us, Help the Wounded Spirits, private message on the Facebook page, woundedspirits.com, and click on contact and send a contact to us. And they'll be sent right over to us within 5 or 10 minutes. And we'll do our best to get back with you.
Well, that's certainly a great resource, and I wanted our folks to know that if you know of somebody or have experienced this yourself and really didn't know how to identify it, certainly God has, as we can glean already from our conversation here briefly, that the Lord has raised up this ministry. Brother, I go back to the gentleman there in the mental health situation there in Virginia, and how God absolutely delivered him from being chained to a bed to saved and in his right mind. And I go back to the maniac of Gadara and the scriptures and how the Lord delivered that man and how he put him in his right mind. And I can't help but think of,
what do I have to do with thee, thy most high God?
Yes.
I've got the same thing, brother.
Amen. Yeah. It's synonymous with that. And, I say glory to God because of the fact of what God has raised up here. In fact, I'm reading off of our goal page here on Wounded Spirits, and it was three words that caught my attention. It's three words that says, every soul matters. And and really the ministry in and of itself, Wounded Spirits, every soul does matter, not only from the Lord's sake, from not willing that any should perish, but then when somebody has been entrapped, and I'll use that word with the things that deal with PTSD, and brother, that is a bondage. That is a trap for sure.
Yeah.
That God has raised up a ministry to deliver those that may be trapped in that. Brother, is that the way you see Wounded Spirits?
Yeah. we believe that PTSD is a trial. We believe, trials serve a couple purposes. If you read the book of Job especially, it's crystal clear. And we know in the book of James, it's talking about divers temptations, which really, again, we're talking about trials. But trials have a couple purposes. So the first purpose is to bring the individual to God or closer to God. And the second purpose we find in Scripture is to help bring other people, closer, having a closer relationship or to God. And so exactly right. Just reaching out to everyone we can, explaining what they're going through, helping them find the other end of that. Going through Scripture, we like to say we train 17,000 PTSD victors. We do meet with some people a lot. We have meetings around the country. We have chapters and churches that are rising up. Churches usually grow by 10 or 20% of people who start a PTSD group, who come out to training, and then translate into a group into the local community. It's that's what we're all about. We just want to help people. We want them to meet other people. One of the things, dear brother, that folks suffer from a lot with PTSD is that they have alternate realities. You know, they get caught up with these RPG video games, or that kind of becomes their reality. The reality may unfortunately become something terrible like pornography, or living outside. They lock themselves in the house. They don't want to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden you see in God's word, hey, that's wrong. God saved me. I got the Holy Spirit of God in my heart. And God created me for communication. God created me to be a member of that local church. And that, you know, that local church is the bride and the bridegroom of Christ. And we got to stand there pure. And what God has done through that with these people is getting back to every soul matters. And then we get to a place with them where they're good. They're really doing well. They're in check. They got a good church. Life is going great. And then we get to a place with them where all of a sudden those who are hurting go out and share a healing message. And it helps the former hurt heal even more, and it helps the next people. And we've seen that replicate itself 100 times. We have 100 people around the country right now who've come through camps, who've, you know, God has done an incredible work in their lives, and they're running groups at churches, they're running groups at VA hospitals and local hospitals and police stations and fire stations, and wherever God will open a door. We've been to New York City and Las Vegas and California. We've been, you name it, God has opened doors in so many places that they're closed. But when you walk in using the words post-traumatic stress disorder, people listen. And so that's how we see it. We see it as a tool. Our ministry as a tool to display God's word, his greatness, his sovereignty, the all-sufficiency of the Bible. We see it as a tool to help people find that and then find the answers for the characteristics of PTSD.
Brother, I was just looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 here, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God."
Amen.
And it couldn't have been a better verse to associate with what you just said about that. Brother, one final question here, and I wanted to save a few minutes from that for this. You introduced me to some music, a lady by the name of Stephanie Wesco. And
yes, sir.
And by the way, we are airing her music here on Gethsemane Global Radio, so I wanted you to pass that along to her while I had it in my mind here.
But, well, I certainly will.
I know she went through a great depth of a situation. And if it's okay, would you just share with us just a brief overview of what happened and how Wounded Spirits has helped her?
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for listening to Stephanie Wesco and family. And I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to write a lot of the lyrics that you find on our first two CDs. And they're available even on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Stephanie Wesco is a wonderful young lady. She was raised as a pastor's kid, grew up in the church, memorized a lot of the Bible, just really sharp, married a gentleman named Charles Wesco. When her and Charles got married, they were in the ministry. Charles was an assistant pastor. And then at some point, Charles realized that he had a calling on his life to be a missionary in Cameroon. So they go out, raise support, get their support, move over to Cameroon, Africa. They're there 12 days. I mean, they're out witnessing to people, making bread for people, feeding people. Their dream had come true. They're there with their 8 kids, a young lady, a nanny. And while they were there, they decided to go get groceries after 12 days in the city down the road. So they were in the English-speaking side of Cameroon. So we know that the greatest part of Cameroon is French-speaking. And they consider themselves to be Christians, and then that the English-speaking side, and a lot of them may be Muslims and things of that nature, but a little more trouble. And anyway, as they had left their little town to go to a bigger city to get more groceries, to make bread and stuff for their communities and feed people so they could share the gospel, they came to the first police officer, and they stopped, and he said, "It's clear all the way to the city. You guys can go through." And they drove maybe 100 yards. Somebody with a shotgun real close to Charles Wesco, side of the car, just took a couple shots at point-blank range. There were bullet holes You know, it was a shotgun. There were bullet holes throughout the car, all around everybody's heads, everywhere. But Charles Wesco, the husband and the 8 kids' dad, was shot in the head. A couple pieces of his head had, you know, fallen out. And so there was a missionary driving. There was Charles Wesco there, and there was Stephanie Wesco, and her second oldest, Charles Wesco Jr., was in the back of the car. So Stephanie threw Charles down on the seat, pulled her husband, along with the pieces of his head and stuff, on top of Charles, put his head back together, held it together, and laid on top of them, praying, reciting Psalm 91, and the missionary drove as fast as he could for an hour and a half. That's so hard to believe, an hour and a half. And they got to the first hospital, and they said, there's nothing we can do. We don't even have electricity today. So they drove another 20 minutes to a hospital with electricity and generators and stuff. And in a short time, he was found dead. He was pronounced dead. And they checked Stephanie, had blood all over her body, thinking she had been shot. And anyway, they had to escape out of that country. You know, at that point, the missionaries on the English-speaking side were in trouble. There was contracts out. That was what believed. Stephanie and her kids had to escape the country, laying on the floor of the van. They got away, got home, and over the next couple months, everything subtly showed up and then slammed her with PTSD, suicide ideology, guilt, survivor's guilt, apathy, again, just wanting to shut down, just anger, all those different things that come through your emotions. And someone called and said, Brother Doug, we know that you work with people with PTSD, would you be willing to talk to Stephanie Wesco? And I said, I would. Then I explained to them that when it came across my Facebook 4 months earlier that they were trying to escape the country, and I saw the picture of her sweet family's prayer card, that I was in a hotel actually up in Hagerstown, Maryland. I rolled out of bed, got on my knees, and saw that picture. I said, Lord, if there's ever anything I can do to help this family, don't hesitate to let me know. And I found myself 4 months later sitting in a room and going through the tenets with a wonderful Christian lady of the Bible and showing her what God's word had to say about the things she suffered from. And over the next couple of weeks, boy, God did a work in her life. And today she's a counselor. She wrote a wonderful book. Not only is her music spot on, she wrote a book, To Die is Gain, Find an Abundant Life in Death. I had the honor of editing that thing like 35 times. It's a great selling book. It's out there on Amazon. You can download it today or get it sent to you. I think it's one of the best missionary story books and things she had went through in her life that I've ever seen. So she counsels ladies. She speaks at camps. She plays music. She takes care of her 8 kids. She's a superwoman, brother. So that's kind of the story.
Wow. Well, that is quite a story. And certainly not anything that when they realize their dream and only for 12 days there and then he's gone. I am thankful, my brother, that God heard your prayers on your knees that night in Hagerstown, Maryland, and God put you face to face with her. What truly a blessing that was indeed. Well, Brother Doug Carriger, it has been our pleasure to have you on board here this morning. As is our custom, we always pray with those that we interview here. And I want to take just a moment to pray for you and for the Ministry of Wounded Spirits, and that God would greatly prosper you. So let's take a moment to pray. And for those of you listening, pray with us. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you this morning thanking you, first of all, for Brother Carriger, and Lord, certainly for touching his heart to raise up this ministry of Wounded Spirits. And Lord, how many people have been touched and helped and revived because of what you have done. And we give you the glory and the honor for what you have done. And I certainly pray your good hand of mercy be upon them. I pray they be used mightily, Lord, in the days to come. And Lord, may you direct their paths and all that they do. Lord, thank you for, again, the strength you give to them day by day. And may, Lord, you be blessed, Lord, by their efforts. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that they do. Thanking you, Lord, again, for this time this morning to talk with Brother Carriger. Ask your blessings upon him, his family, and the ministry. And we'll ask it in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother, Amen, brother. Thank
brother,
you.
Brother Doug, it has been a pleasure. pleasure and a blessing to have you aboard this morning. I so greatly appreciate you calling in, and I trust that it's been a help to those that have listened this morning. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Trust that the message that you have heard this morning from Brother Carragher and Wounded Spirits has been a help. And if you know somebody that is in need of some help, certainly a great resource to contact. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring you this program this morning, Wheat Among the Tares. We're here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Trust you'll pray for us here, and trust you'll have a blessed day in the Lord.